Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
It is good to be here. Yes? So we say Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. It is Rosh Kodesh. The new moon. So who told somebody you were going to a new moon festival tonight? And who got looked at like you were crazy tonight? Yeah? What are you doing, a bonfire, going to dance around it? And I hope not. We had some dancing, but not quite the same. Anyway, thank you for inviting me to come and speak. Pastor Benny, very gracious. And family for allowing me to come and share. I do appreciate that. I want you to know that I'm 30 years old, so I'm old enough to teach you something, right? And not quite old enough to be crucified. So, just to let you know, grew up Baptist. Anybody here, ex-Baptist? Present Baptist, maybe. In our Baptist church, things got crazy. First thing happened, we let some people in the church that weren't white come in. And that didn't go well. And then we let something called the Holy Spirit come in. That didn't go well either. And so for the few of us that were left after all that, our Baptist-costal church kind of progressed or so like this. And I remember, I believe we were, April, my wife was in labor with Nicholas, who's 10. And I'm sitting there, first baby, all nervous, you know. And I'm reading a book on Jewish festivals, waiting on this baby to come. And I'm just telling her all about it. And she tells me where to put the book, and I close it. And I say, okay. Well, I was so excited because I grew up, you know, Baptist. We'd made our rounds around the churches in my town. You know what I'm talking about? You come over here, you get offended, you get somebody upset. You come over here, you get offended, and you get, come to this Baptist church, that bad. Oh, we'll just start a new one, right? Well, I did that, but then I also knew that in the china cabinet in our house, there was a menorah. Kind of strange, it's not china. Menorah in a china cabinet. So I knew my father was Jewish, and that was all that I knew. And I knew he was cheap. That was about it. I knew those two things, really. But then as I began to study and learn, and one day I met a man named Rabbi Earl Jernigan. Blessed be his memory. He came to me, I was working at a Christian bookstore. And he said something very simple. We got to talking and he said, Daniel, he said, why do you celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday? What do you mean? He said, well, the Bible says 6 days shall you labor, do all your work. And look at your calendar, okay, I do that. And it says, Sunday is the first day. Saturday is the seventh day. I said, I don't know. Good question. He said, well, next time I come, I want you to tell me why. And he left. Strange man, I said. So I studied it and I learned and I said, oh, well, I got to check this out. So he invited me to come to a Friday night Erev Shabbat service in Prosperity. And I told folks at the church, I told my in-laws, mom and dad, whatever you want to call them there, Ralph and Ralph. No, we won't call you that. Maggie and Don, I said, well, we're going. And they, of course, said, no, you're not. I said, no, we're going. We're going. We're going to check this out. They said, we're going with you. You're not getting involved in a cult. Because I was important to the church. I worked a full-time job, but I was music minister, worship leader. I'd fill in for the preacher sometime on Sunday nights. This is when I was 20, 18 through 20, right? Sunday school teacher, youth minister, and janitor. So, the elders of the church said, we're going with you. They're not stealing you, kind of a thing. Oh, whatever. So we drove up, and truth here, we drove up to this building with no mirrors, no windows. And the grass was this tall. It literally was this tall. And my wife said, I'm not getting out. She said, oh, no way. The jaws of life will have to pull me out of his car to get me in there. Well, we got inside, and it was strange. Not sure what I was expecting, but we sat down. We did some Hebrew. We sang a little bit with the CD, even some of those same songs, and we experienced Hebraic worship for the first time. And we left. We said, we didn't know what to say. I think we drove all the way home without saying anything. But we felt a sense of holiness. Something was different. Something was different. But we didn't go back for about 6 months at least. But that seed was planted. And during that time, we would write Rabbi Earl, or we would question, and we would say, well, wait a minute. Here's what this says. And he'd say, go here. He wouldn't tell me everything. He'd say, go here, read it yourself. So to make a long story short, we started learning about our Hebrew roots and started teaching our pastor, and we did seders at the Baptist Church. Now welcome black folks. Yeah. Sadly, Holy Spirit and everybody else was okay, but they didn't go for the Jewish roots. Not yet. I pray for them that they will, but we felt led to move in a different direction. And that direction has led us to our internet ministry, emetministries.com, www.findemet.com. If you've been to the websites, tons of articles and information and teaching. And that's the hub of our ministry. We have our group in Prosperity. And sometimes there's 10 of us, sometimes there's 2 of us, sometimes there's 50 of us. We never know what it's going to be, but we have a great time. And we're learning, and we're on a journey, amen? And so part of that learning and journey for me was recognizing in the Scriptures that when we read, and it's all capital letters, L-O-R-D, or G-O-D, in big letters, the translators are telling us there's something special here. And so we can read in the preface of your Bible that that's the what? That's the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, pronounced Yahweh, or maybe Yahweh. Some say Yahuwah. So as I talk to you tonight, I'm going to use that name. It's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? Everybody with me there? All right. Because I don't want you to sit there for 30 minutes and say, who's he talking about? It happens. It happens. And then also be using the name of the Son, the Savior. That way he was called while he was here on the earth, either Yahushua or Yeshua. They didn't speak English. They certainly didn't speak King James English way back then. So as we recognize, as we say those names, you know who we're referencing. So that being said, some of my kids are here. We have 5, and it's a nut house, as you can imagine. Had a great Father's Day, though. Father's Day was really interesting for us. I took my kids to find a Father's Day present for me. That didn't work. But anyway, we're looking at the cards, and my son Judah is there, and we're looking through the cards, and he's just going through them. I'm like, what are you doing? Now, Judah's peculiar, okay? And he's going through all of his cards looking for something and putting them right back. I'm like, son, what are you doing? He says, Daddy, I'm looking for the one with money in it. We didn't find it, but boy, he sure tried. He sure tried. And then there's Isaiah. Isaiah is, I think, the funnest one right now. He's three. That's just a great age. We didn't bring him tonight because he'd be swinging from that flag right there if we would have. But a couple days ago, we're playing. And you know how you play, like you bite your little kids' fingers, you bite their toes. And we call it Daddy Monster. Daddy Monster. Daddy Monster's going to get you. So we're playing. We're having a good time. And I'm like, oh, Daddy Monster's going to get you. And you know, trying this. And he hands up his fingers like he's real proud. He says, look, you know what, I'm doing this. And I grab his fingers and I start chewing on him. And he just starts to cry. I said, son, what's the matter? He said, you ate my booger. You ate my booger. It was bad. True story. It was bad. So anyway, how many know life's not perfect? I'm not saying we eat boogers, but life's not perfect. Whew. Oh, that was bad. And then there's Joshua. He is a character. In fact, soon he'll grab this microphone and start singing a little bit. He's our psalmist or so. Anyway, Joshua, ooh, he's back there. And Rebecca is the baby. Did I leave one out? There's so many. Okay. All right, got them all straight. So anyway, we have a big family, and with any big family, there's challenges. We have a 1,600-square-foot house and three bedrooms, and there's seven of us. So we all sleep on bunk beds. Never have any more kids. That solved that problem right there. I have to confess to you, Pastor. I know you don't have a collar on, but every once in a while, I'll let a four-letter word slip. Am I the only one here that does that sometimes? Show of hands. Come on. Don't lie. Don't lie. Four-letter words. I didn't say five-letter words. Naughty, naughty. The S word, the D word, those. We're not perfect, are we? Sometimes it's the only thing that fits the moment. And you can try substituting, but that doesn't work. It's not as fun. So anyway, every once in a while, it just happens. I want to talk to you about that tonight. Four-letter words, a little bit. Stories told of this woman who... Jewish lady, of course. She got married, and she goes on this wonderful honeymoon, and her mother calls her back when they're done, and she says, honey, how is it? She says, oh. She's just crying. That was bad. It's so bad. She says, what do you mean? Come get me, mama. The mother says, what do you mean it's bad? She says, oh, it's so bad. What? He's just speaking to me so mean and ugly and rude. He's using all these four-letter words. It's horrible. She says, honey, dear, it can't be that. Oh, it's horrible. It's verbal abuse. Come get me. Come get me now. Honey, you just got married. I can't come get you. She said, come get me. She said, look. The mother said, tell me what he's saying, and if it's really bad, I'll come get you. Oh, no, mother, you don't want to hear him. So she said some of those words like cook and wash and iron and work and dust. Mama said, I'll be right there. I'm coming right now. You know what I'm talking about? How about you guys? The only four-letter words we don't like are don't and stop. You know, those are the ones we don't want to hear, you know. Don't do that. But I want to talk to you about a four-letter word that begins with H tonight. What could that be? Hell? Hell? No, we're not going to talk about hell. How about hope? Who could use some hope? Use some hope. That's a popular word, isn't it? I mean, place of burning and torment, hell. You kind of expect that from ex-Baptists, right? But another four-letter word, and that's a popular word right now. We hear it in political campaigns. Hope. Hope and change. Hope and change. Change and hope. Chope, just for short. Would you say chope? Might as well. It's all about hope, right? And that's good. You know, the world offers that hope out there. We get this person in, we get this person out, we do this, we do that. Everything's going to get better. It's kind of used and abused, I think, but I want to ask you, don't tune me out, because I want to share with you some things about hope. And it's going to encourage you, and it's going to challenge you a little bit, and you might even learn something. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to learn something. If you don't have a neighbor, be your neighbor, buddy. There you go. I'm going to learn something. Hallelujah. I'm going to learn something. If you look up the word hope in the dictionary, it means desirable or possible, to be optimistic, to be fulfilled. And then it says, see Bob Hope. And so you turn over there and you look at Bob Hope. And what did Bob Hope do? He told lots of good jokes, right? You know, he did a great job. Made you laugh. He gave you hope. Hope is a desire. Hear me now. Hope is a desire that things are going to get better. How's that sound? But do you know what that insinuates? That insinuates that things aren't as good as they could be. It's a desire that things are going to be better. Who wants life to be better? Who wants your marriages to be better? Friendships to be better? Bank accounts to be better? Two hands back there. We want things to be better. That means that things aren't as good as they could be. And so hope gives us this idea. Remember that commercial, that little old lady coming in the fast food restaurant? She orders that burger and they give her this two big buns, a little small beef patty. What does she say? Where's the beef? You remember that? You might have ate her beef. I don't know. But we do. Pastor, we say, where's the beef? Where is it? Or it comes like this. We get to the top of the ladder. We accomplish what we think we need in life and everything. You know, we get to where we wanted to be. And guess what? We realize it's leaning on the wrong wall. We got to go down and start climbing all the way over again. That means we need hope. And I don't know where you are in your life tonight, but I can tell you that this is a time for hope. It's a day for hope. This is Rosh Kodesh. It's the fourth month. It's called the month of Tammuz. It's a beginning. It's what the month is. It's a new beginning. It's a new start, a fresh start. Yahweh's saying, here's a new beginning for you, a new hope, a new chance. The door is opening wide, and you need to pursue it. But too many times, we kind of do this. We just sit there waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And all these chances pass us by. Hope. That's what we need. Some fresh hope. Amen? Some hope. That's a good four-letter word. And the world promises it, but delivers very little. We all have trials. We all have problems, valleys. And I know it's easy to get down. Because, you know, the difference between me and you is that I've got the microphone right now. That's it. Because you could get up here and tell me about your problems. Because we do have real problems, real pain that we go through. Horrible experience happened to me recently. One of the kids comes and gets me and says, Daddy, you got a problem. That's never good at my house. That means somebody's dead or something's really bad. He says, Daddy, got a problem. So he says, all right. He says, come here. And I look down and floating in the toilet is his toothbrush. You know how much stuff we found in toilets lately? I mean, the kids are getting into putting things down there. Balls and everything, Legos. And he says, Daddy. He says, I'm like, all right, son, I'll handle it. I'll get it out. No problem. So I fish it out. And I say, now, it goes in the trash. You can't use it again. He just looks at me. And he gets a smile on his face. And he disappears. He comes out of my bathroom with my toothbrush. He says, Daddy, you got to throw this one away. It was floating a few days ago. That was bad. You ever just realize that that's kind of like your life? You feel like you're just floating around a toilet bowl? Maybe not that bad. That's bad. Sometimes we just get to where life hurts. We're just tired of putting up with it. And later we can laugh about it, but I was running for the Lysol, spraying my tongue, doing everything I could do. I'm here to tell you that life should be more than pain and problems and sickness and complaints and worry and fear and stress and drama. How many members of the drama club we got here? You know what I'm saying? I'm sick of it. Are you sick of it? Well, the only way it changes is if we change it. Don't expect Barack Obama to change it. Don't expect Mark Sanford to change it. He's going hiking. He's going to find himself. You should have left a note at least. You know what I'm saying? I've gone to find myself. If I should return before I get back, keep me here. We need that hope. Don't expect somebody else to change. You got to change. We got to change. We got to have that hope because we fill so much of our day up with junk. I don't know about you, but when I eat a bunch of junk food, I feel bad when I'm done. And then when I fill my day up with junk, guess what? When I'm done, I feel bad. We got to take a look at that. You know, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "Behold, I know the thoughts I think about you. Thoughts of shalom, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a good hope in the end." Do you know what that means? Maggie, it means that you're not at the end yet. Because you've got a good hope at the end. A peace. A joy. But we sometimes look at God like this. Ooh, he's got a big fancy chair that he sits in. Sorry, Pastor. And he's watching us. You don't sit here? He's watching us. And as soon as we step out of line, what's he going to do? That's right. We don't think that he's looking at us and saying, "April, I want you out of the situation more than you want out of it. I want things to be better more than you want things to be better. I've got you a hope. I'm throwing you a line. Here's a life preserver. Look up." And you know, we just walk around. Good hope. The Hebrew word here for hope in Jeremiah 29:11 is tikva. Tikva. Say it with me. Tikva. Say it again. Tikva. A little bit louder. Tikva. In Hebrew, it's Tav, Yod, Chaf, Vav, He. Tikva. Tav, Yod, Chaf, Vav, He. That's five letters. We're talking about four-letter words, though, aren't we? Tikva has a connection to another four-letter word. It means hope. Do you know what else it means? Hebrew is an amazing language because it's pictures, it's word pictures, and it's an action language. It much more resembles hieroglyphics than it does English. If you were to look it up in your Strong's Dictionary and Concordance, because I know you're going to, and prove me, here's what it means. Tikva, cord, rope, line, to bind, a hope. Rope, cord, line, hope, rope. Four-letter words, there's a connection here. You ever feel like you're at the end of your rope? Today, have you ever felt like you're at the end of your rope? Spend time at my house sometimes with five kids running around. And they're wonderful. It is a blessing. When they're asleep, it's great. Can you? We start putting them to bed at 7 a.m. And then they finally go to sleep. But that's what Yahweh says. When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Don't give up and don't use the rope to hang yourself with. Isn't that the truth? Some people can look at that rope and say, that'd work. That'd hold me up. And some people look at that and say, I can hang on. Tikva. Tikva. Turn with me, please, to the book of Yahushua. Joshua. And there's an amazing story that expresses this. And we've read it, we've read it. And we miss it because we don't read Hebrew. There's so many nuggets for us and treasures in the Hebrew. The more of the Hebrew language we can know, the better we can understand the word of Yahweh. In Yahushua, in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, or dos, Joshua, Yahushua, the son of Nun, is getting ready to go into Jericho. And so he sends spies to the land. And it tells us in verse 1 that they go to the harlot's house named Rahab. And they lodge there. What in the world are two Hebrew boys doing at a harlot's house spending the night? Isn't that interesting? And it was told of the king that they're there. Go search the land. In verse 4 it says, the woman took the two men and hid them. And there came men to me, and I didn't know where they were, she said. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, which it was dark. Verse 5, and the men of the king went out, and she said to them, where those men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them under the stalks of flax, which she had piled up on the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Yarden, the Jordan River, to the fords. As soon as they, those who pursued after them, had gone after the spies, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down for the night, she came up to them upon the roof. And she said to the men, I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that your fear is upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the sea, the waters of the Sea of Reeds for you. You came out of Mitzrayim of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan River, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there any remain any more courage on us because of you. For Yahweh, your God, your Elohim, He is Elohim in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Now verse 12, she says, therefore, please swear to me by Yahweh, since I have shown you mercy, that you will also show me mercy to my father's house, and give me a sign of that chesed, of that grace, of that mercy, that you'll keep us alive and deliver us from death. In verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter nothing about this business, it shall be that when Yahweh has given us the land, that we will deal in chesed and in truth with you. But she let them down by a rope through the window, for her bait, her house, was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, let the pursuers meet you. Hide yourself 3 days until the pursuers return, and afterwards you can go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this your oath which you have made us swear. Unless you do this, we come to the land, you shall bind this cord of scarlet thread in the window from which you did let us down by. And you shall bring your father, your mother, your brothers, all your Abba's household to stay with you. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be spilled and will be his own fault. He will be guiltless. And whoever shall be with you in the house, if they are hurt, his blood shall become our fault. And she said in verse 21, according to your words, let it be so. It's an amazing story. A story of hope. And indeed, in the Hebrew, in verse 18, When it says this cord of scarlet thread, the word used there for cord is not the traditional word for cord or line. It's the word tikva. So it could be translated, this hope of scarlet thread shall be a sign for you. Same thing in verse 21. But she bound the scarlet line in her window. She bound her hope in her window, looking out expectantly that things were going to get better. Do you ever do that? Look out the window, maybe it's just the windows of your eyes, and say, I wish things were better. I wish things were better. But she didn't just look out the window. She looked out the window with the scarlet thread. Our hope is that scarlet thread. It is that scarlet cord. Interesting side note, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, there's a connection here. In the Talmud, which is a book of Jewish commentary on the Torah, it states that it was tradition, that part of the Yom Kippur sacrifices is that they would take the Azazel goat and they would wrap a white band of wool around its antlers or so. And they'd put the same on the doors there at the temple, in the tabernacle. White. And if it turned red, that meant that their sacrifices were accepted. During all this had occurred. And the Talmud actually records that sometime around the year 33 AD, the cord stopped turning red. It was done. He tells us in the book of Hebrews that it was sacrificed once for all time. Not for the blood of bulls and goats for the remission of sins, but once. He gave his life once for us. We can look out the window and hope all day long, but it's only when we look out the window through the scarlet blood of Yeshua. That's where the hope is. That's where the difference is. That's where the power is. Otherwise, we're just daydreaming. We're just daydreaming. The same word is used in Psalm 19. Now remember, Rahab would later marry a prince of Judah in the lineage of Yeshua, this woman of hope. But turn with me to Psalm 19. Tehillim, in Hebrew 19. In the King James it says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament thereof. That's true. You look outside and see the beautiful stars. Verse 2 says, day to day utters speech, and night to night reveals understanding. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. Verse 4, there is a line that goes out through the earth, the words to the end of the world. And if you continue reading on, it talks about a bridegroom and the word of Yahweh, verse 7. The heavens, the stars declare the glory of Yahweh. The word there in verse 4 that says that there is a line that reaches down from heaven, tikva. The root word is tikva. There is a rope that reaches down from heaven. Now, why is that important? Proverbs chapter 30 states, who has ascended into the heavens and who has descended? Who has kept the wind in his hand? The stars? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know. That line from heaven is Yeshua. It is Jacob's ladder. He is that line. So when we look out at the stars at night, we're not frightened or afraid, though 10,000 may fall on our side. We see a new hope. We see through the darkness. Or do you just see darkness? Rosh Kodesh is wonderful with that. Now there's debates and messianic movement. Oh, Rosh Kodesh, sure. You got to see the moon in Israel. Oh, you better do it this way. Oh, Rosh Kodesh. Oh, it's when there's no moon. We'll go by the nautical Rosh Kodesh. Still trying to figure that one out. Then others say, no, no, no. You go by this calendar. You go by that calendar. I believe the scriptures are clear. It's a crescent. Look at your little fingernail. It looks like that. Hopefully it'll be out in the sky when we walk out tonight. There's a connection because you look out and it's the moon coming back into light, waxing and waning. And when you see the Rosh Kodesh, you remember there is a line that comes out of heaven. It is Yeshua. It is our hope. But I can start this new month. I can start this new time with the hope, with tikvah, with expectation. That's what he says. That's what he says. Our hope is in Yeshua against all odds, against all reasons. Pastor, how long have you been married? Uh-oh, better ask your wife. How long have you been married? 32 years. Have you wanted to give up? Have you wanted to shoot him? Not today. I'm talking about in the past. Yes. It is against all hope. It is against all odds for a couple to be together 32 years. But Mark chapter 9 says, with Yahweh, all things are possible. All things are possible. My wife has put up with me for 15 years. We've been married for 12, right? Right? Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. Hope. That's the desire of this message, that you would be filled with hope on this Rosh Kodesh. In the midst of darkness. That's what Rosh Kodesh is all about. The moon's gone away. Picture this for a second, that we're in Israel, we're in the land, there's no cell phones, there's no electricity, there's no cars, we're just there in the countryside of Judea, and we're looking up, and it's just dark. Clouds are there, and it's sad, and bad things have happened in our life, and the next day, the clouds have parted, and all of a sudden, where it was dark the night before, where you could almost not even see your hand in front of your face, there's a little glimpse, a little sliver of hope, peering through the darkness, speaking out to us. That's Rosh Kodesh. Romans, the book of Romiah, continues. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now. When? Now. Let's try it again. When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Now. May the Elohim of Tikva, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in your tikvah through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now. Now. That you may abound in hope. You know why? Because when we abound in hope, when you abound in something, that means you've got extra. And then you get to share it. And you get to share it. May we abound in hope through what? Through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Now may He fill you with, the Elohim of hope, fill you with joy and shalom. Simcha and shalom. We can understand Hebraically in Genesis chapter 1 that when does the day begin? In the evening. When it's darkest. Weeping may last for the night. But Simchat, joy, comes in the morning. But see, we were taught just the opposite. Oh, the day begins in the morning. You get up, you get going. The start of a day. No, the start of our day is when the sun is going down and it becomes dark. And it is there in the start of our day when things seem the darkest that we can have hope. No matter how bad the sun will rise. No matter how bad, tikvah is there. We read in the scriptures about others who overcame obstacles against hope. Against hope, what does that mean? It means you're not alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not alone. You're not alone. Speaking of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham, verse 18, who against tikvah, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Do you know what that verse means? Do you want the Rabbi Daniel authorized version? Here's what it would say. Abraham, who against what everybody around him said, who against what the world told him, what his friends told him, what his parents told him, and what all his neighbors told him, who against what the world would say, common knowledge or even common sense, believed in tikvah, that he might become the father of many nations, even though he was old, even though he was past Viagra helping him, even though nothing was going to do, he believed, get this, the word of Yahweh that was spoken to him. Now what about us? Are we crazy enough to believe the word of Yahweh that was spoken that people could say about us? Sue, against all hope, believed hope, the word of Yahweh that was spoken to her. She was faithful, she abided in Messiah, and here she is. Well done, my good and faithful servant. People look at us like we're crazy. They really look at me like I'm crazy. What's this Jew boy doing? Somebody called me that yesterday. They meant it in a derogatory remark on Facebook. Somebody said, oh, the Jew boy, something. I'm like, wow. He thinks I'm crazy. Yes. Yes. Because to love the world is what? It's to be at enmity with Yahweh. Against all hope. Do you know what that means? It means those around him, what they thought about it. Because let me tell you, people around us, I got some bad news for you. They don't want you to do good. Most people don't. I'm not talking about the household of faith, but most people don't want you to do better than they're doing. They don't. So they're hoping you do bad. You're hoping you do good. What happens? Nothing. Unless you believe the word of Yahweh that was spoken to you. So let me ask you, what has he spoken to you? And if you don't know that answer, we got some serious problems. We don't need to be talking about hope. We need to be talking about something else. I told you I was going to preach a little bit. If you don't know what Yahweh has spoken to you, if there's not a word or a verse or an understanding that you have in your life right now for where you're supposed to be at, what you're supposed to be doing, what your mind is supposed to be wrapped around, who you're supposed to be becoming, then you need to get away and get with Yahweh. Cut off the TV, cut off the internet, and say, Yahweh, speak to me. Speak to me. You don't have to read the five books of the Torah. Read a couple of Psalms, read a couple of Proverbs till he shows you something, and get your word from Yahweh. And don't let go until you got it. And don't go anywhere until you got it. And when you get it, believe it against all hope. You know what my word is? Jeremiah 6:16. That's what he's given me lately. Stand by the way and look and see and ask for the ancient paths that you may do them and be blessed. That's what he's told me. stand by the way, not get in the way, not stand in the way. Stand by the way and look to the Word, to the ancient paths, and do it. What's He spoken to you? When's the last time you had an aha moment of revelation from Yahweh? You just know that's your Word. Now, I'm not talking blab it and glab it and name it and claim it and all that kind of stuff. But you know what I'm saying? Blab it and glab it, name it and claim it. Find that Word and don't let go of it. Don't let go. What is your vision? What does the Scripture say? Without knowledge, without vision, the people perish. Where do you want to be in your faith tomorrow? 3 months from now? A year from now? 6 years from now? Same place? In your life? Same place? At work? Same place? A wise man once said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. That's why we need hope. Things can be better. That's why we need tikva. That desire, that rope, that line from Yahweh saying, you know what? Here's the line. I'm throwing it to you. Grab on. I want to save you. I want to help you. I'll bring you along to pull us to safety. Bad things happen. Toothbrushes fall in the toilets. We lose our jobs. We lose our houses. We have to go out to dinner with the in-laws. Bad things happen. Right? That's when we have to hold on tight to the promises. Yeshua said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life in abundance. Do you know what that verse means? It means that there are some things that are from the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's some things that are from Yeshua. We got to figure out which one is which. And we got to walk in that way. We got to grab onto it, that hope. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be strong and take heart, all that hope in Yahweh. Blessed is the man whose hope is in Yahweh. Psalm 146, verse 5. It's easy to forget. Don't forget it. I want to give you a way to remember this. Easy way to remember this. You ready? When you get down, when you get depressed, if you can't remember the rope, if you can't remember hope, remember the nation of Israel. Who against all hope was born in a day. We don't understand it. We don't grasp it. But friend, let me tell you, it was a miracle. You've seen the atrocities of the Holocaust. You know what the people have gone through. It was during this month in the year 70 AD. On the ninth day of Tammuz, that the Romans began attacking the temple. This month, 9 days from today, in the year 586, before Yeshua, on the same day, the ninth of Tammuz, the walls in Jerusalem were breached by Nebuchadnezzar. Destroyed. On the 17th day of Tammuz, temple service was disrupted, and in 70 AD, Jerusalem was pretty much destroyed by the Romans. I'll come back to that in a minute. The Jewish nation was dispersed in 70 AD, destroyed, persecuted, kicked out of Spain, kicked out of Europe, kicked out of France. The Holocaust, things that Nero did. Yet in May of 1948, The Declaration of Israel's Independence was signed by the United States, the United Nations, and Israel itself. In the midst of exile, in the midst of pain, in the midst of dispersion, as a nation, Isaiah 68 came true. Is a country born in a day? Is a nation brought forth at once? Yes. And within 24 hours, the Islamic nation surrounding it declared war on Israel. Oh, wow, we got our nation back. Oh, no, we got to fight our first war. And we think we have bad days. I believe that the sign that we are living in the end of days is the restoration of the nation of Israel. Not only in the land, Eretz Israel, but here. That is the sign that we are living in the end of days. And when we get down, when we get frustrated, we simply need to remember Israel. The national anthem of Israel. Now we have our national anthem, right? The national anthem of Israel is called Hatikva, the hope. The hope. That's a strange name for a national anthem, but it's real. It's real. It means the hope has occurred. The hope of the restoration. So when we think about uttering that four-letter word, what do we need to do? We need to think of another four-letter word called hope. Remember that rope. Now, what's the connection? It's interesting that this name, the name of this month, is Tammuz. When the Israelites went to Babylon, they came back with a couple of their months named. You see, before they went to Babylon, there was only one month named. And that was the month of Aviv, or A-B-I-B in the King James, Abib. There was only one month that the scriptures gave a title for in the Torah. That was Aviv. But when they went to Babylon, guess what they did? They assimilated a little bit. And they took some of these names of the months that the Babylonians used and they brought them to the faith. Similar to how there's only one name for the days of the week. That's Shabbat. And then there's the first day of Shabbat, the second day of Shabbat, the third day of Shabbat, the fourth day of Shabbat, the fifth day of Shabbat, the sixth day, and then guess what? Shabbat. We've done the same thing, though. We've got Monday. Guess what that's assimilated from? The day of the moon. Thursday, the day of worshiping Thor. Saturday, the day of worshiping Saturn. What's interesting is in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of Yahweh's house, which was towards the north. And see, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, oh, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. And it goes on to read about some of the prophecies. So here in the prophets, it says they were weeping for Tammuz. Why? Why were they weeping? Well, number one, they knew that it was in the month of Tammuz that the temple was destroyed in 586 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar, that the offerings and sacrifices had stopped. And in fact, on the 17th of Tammuz every month, every year, there is a fast day, day of fasting, like a miniature Yom Kippur called the Fast of Tammuz. I believe there was something else going on here. And I believe he was looking to the future and he was seeing a pagan connection. I mean, think about it. Why would Yahweh allow a pagan name for the month to be listed in Ezekiel? Deep Thoughts with Daniel Rendleman. Why would he allow that? I thought about that. I think he was reminding us that when we get into the nations, this paganism is all around us. Man's ways. Darkness. And guess what? We're just like that. We want to weep for the month. We want to weep for what's happening around us. We want to weep for our problems. That it's in months like this that we need faith. We need hope. Hebraically, everything is like this in a circle. But in school, what do they teach us? We have a timeline. This happened here, this happened there, this happened here. Hebraically, it goes like this. For example, Torah was given on Shavuot. Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, was given on Shavuot. And so the months are important to study and to know because things repeat. In months like this, we need faith. Attacks upon our faith. Everyone who lives for Yahweh will face persecution, is what the book of Timothy says. Everyone. Problems, trials, attacks upon the land. Any day now, we could read of attacks from North Korea, attacks from Iran. That in the midst of this month of Tammuz, we need faith. We need hope. Yahweh's saying, even though it's bad, yes, even though there's paganism all around, that weeping may only last for a little while. But hang in there. Hang in there. I want to finish with Jeremiah. Yirmiyahu. Context is important. Amen. Verse 9. Jeremiah 29. Starting in verse 9. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says Yahweh. For this says Yahweh, after 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to turn to this place. For I know the thoughts I think about you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of shalom and not evil, to give you a good tikva in the end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and make tefillah, prayer to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And I will be found by you, says Yahweh. And I will turn away your exile, and I will gather you from the nations, from the places which I have driven you, says Yahweh. I will bring you back again to the place which I have caused you to go into exile. We read it individually, and oh, it sounds really good, you know.
Behold, I know the thoughts about, think about you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not evil give you a hope in the end.
Great verse to put on like a graduation card, Father's Day card, Monday card, you know. You can make it through Monday. I know you can. But when we read it in context, it's to the nation. It's to everybody. It's to your neighbor. It's to us. It's to Israel saying, I've got plans for you. I've got thoughts about you. And when you turn to me with your whole heart, you're going to find me. That's his promise. So if we're not finding him, guess what that means? We're not looking. We're not looking hard enough. And that's a great thing about Yahweh. Tommy Tenney tells a story of playing hide and seek. And it tells a story that, you know, as a father, you play hide and seek with your kids, and they're supposed to find you. But then they kind of give up sometimes because you hide really good. And what do? You come out and you find them. That's what Yahweh does with us. We find him. We look. We try. Come near to Yahweh. He will come near to you is what the word says. Submit to Yahweh. Resist HaSatan. He will flee. Here it says, I will be found of you and will turn away your exile and gather you from the nations. That is Tikva. That is the hope that he's giving us. There's a lot of talk out there. I'm just going to throw this one out there for whoever wants to chase it. There's a lot of talk out there about, you know, 2012, 2017, 2009, all that kind of stuff, right? I just thought it was real interesting that it says, after 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Because in 1947 is when the commandment went forth for Israel to become a nation, November 1947. 70 years later, 2017, something to think about. Time is short. Yahweh says, I don't care if time is short. He says, I have thoughts and plans for you. I'm bringing you out of exile. Do you know what exile means? Being separated from Yahweh. Yahweh wants us to have hope this new month. Hope. Tikva. So, with hope comes a responsibility. Do you know what that is? It's real simple. It's just grabbing on. Like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, grabbed his tzitzit and held on tight. That's what we need to do. Now, I could sit up here and talk to you about gematria and talk about tikva and about this and about that. And all that's great. But when it comes down to it, when we leave here, do we remember those four-letter words? Do we remember hope, and do we remember the nation of Israel? When you look outside tonight and you see that moon shining through, I want you to remember Yahweh Tikvateinu. Say that with me. Yahweh Tikvateinu. That means Yahweh is our hope. Let us pray. Father, Yahweh Tikvateinu, our hope. We lay our cares, our problems, our concerns at your feet. We come before you, Father, not knowing about tomorrow, but looking at the past and seeing how you've come through for so many. But if you can deliver those boys from the fiery furnace, that you can deliver us from what we face. Father, may we never look to the stars or out the window again the same, but may we see not a silver lining, but a red cord, and see our future through your blood, the blood of our Messiah. Father, forgive us for giving up. Forgive us for uttering four-letter words instead of saying praises to you. Forgive us for saying nope and not listening to your spirit, for grieving your Ruach HaKodesh. Father, whether we've got 50 years or 60 or 70 or 2017 or 2027 or 2997, who knows, Father? What is important is that we look to you, and as your word says in the book of Luke, that we would watch and pray that we would be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, may you fill us with your hope this day. And may we take the time to slip away and seek your face tomorrow. Father, I ask that your Ruach HaKodesh would burden the heart of every person who hears my voice to spend a few extra minutes in prayer and in reading and in meditation and in praise tomorrow and tonight, that we would get a word from you and you would fill us with that word. And we would encourage others that your glory, your hope, your tikva would abound. Father, we thank you that things can get better. We thank you that things are getting better. We thank you for the good hope that you think towards us, the good thoughts you think towards us. Yah, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing that with me. Yah, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. That is our prayer. That is our desire, Abba Yahweh. We climb upon your altar. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds to see the light in the darkness and to seek your face. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for allowing me to share. Pray that Yahweh will bless you. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.